Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to sit back and take a sip of your tea or tequila, whatever you're feeling today. Let's get talking.
Hi guys, guess what? Today we have another guest, probably because that's literally the point of this podcast. We have
a guest.
This guy, it's named Guy. Oh, that's in that great. That's just, okay, sorry.
Hi, my name's Guy. I don't know how to introduce myself. Kind of put on the spot here.
I'm just going to tell you guys how we know each other. He was my supervisor, manager, I don't know.
Yeah.
At Lamley's, which is a yeehaw store.
A yeehaw store?
We sold cowboy hats at the Calgary Stampede. It created a unique bond between the two of us.
Very much a father figure, if you will.
Okay, we're taking it a little far now. Kale, say something. I'm scared.
I'm an aspiring DILF. Like, I already got whiskey here in my cup. Yes, it's from the Vancouver 2008 Olympics. I don't care. We're thriving.
What is going on? I'm so confused. I don't know who this guy is. I knew a guy from like 2 years ago that was like, let's sell cowboy hats. Evelina, you're not stacking them right.
Just some random guy named Guy.
Cool. So we were supposed to have someone else on who is kind of big, an influencer. They're super cool, but they just stopped responding to my emails out of nowhere. And it was really rude and unprofessional. So now we have someone who's actually nice and responds to messages.
Yeah.
Guy's way cooler.
Thanks.
Guy's way cooler.
I try my best.
You ever been ghosted by like a professional work person?
Just ghosted by a professional sex worker.
Oh my God.
No, I'm kidding. I don't know how far of jokes I can make here. Like,
I say let her rip.
We haven't had like, okay, well, that was going to be me. I'd be like, we haven't had a funny guest yet. So, but okay, that's not true.
Yeah, go ahead and alienate all the previous guests. That'd be awesome.
Let's just start. Guy, you travel, right?
Yes, I have.
Go more into depth with that.
Okay. Kind of straight out of high school, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I've already worked for X amount of years. And I was like, fuck it. Don't really want to go to school because I don't want to spend money on an education I don't want yet. And I was like, well, let's travel. Like, I have all this money from working for the last 4 years. So I kind of just packed my bags, bought a ticket. And 3 months later, I was headed to Asia. And I didn't really have an end goal for it. I knew that I wanted to be back for like around summer-ish. But that was about it. Like, I didn't even have a return ticket. Kind of just bought one ways.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just full send.
Yeah, no kidding. I could never do that. That is.
You say that you can't do it, and that's usually the response that I get too. But like, I was literally like the most 18-year-old virgin you could ever think of. Like, I was spooked by like stepping on leaves in the alleyway.
Okay.
Like, I promise you, like, even if people are like listening to this, or you or whoever ever thought about traveling, like, just do it. I feel like if this pandemic kind of taught us anything, it's that plane tickets can't always be bought. People say like, oh, well, I could always go to Europe, or I could always go to Asia, but like, you can't.
Yeah, and there's also a point in your life where you sort of get tied down and then you actually can't. Or you have financial stuff where you, when you're younger, you can make those kind of like financially questionable decisions, and it's totally fine because you don't have responsibility to deal with. When you have like kids and a house and shit, that's good.
Exactly. Like, even that, it's like, say you have like 10 grand in your bank account. You go and you get robbed and you lose all your money, like all 10 grand. It's obviously like a lot of money, but like, you can make that much back. Whereas if you now have like a mortgage to pay and like people to feed, it's a lot harder to do.
Oh, yeah.
My thing that I always told people as well, but they're like, oh, like, why are you going where you're going? Because I went to Asia in the first time. I was like, well, like, I could go to Europe, but it's expensive. And it's like, I could go to Europe if I was in a wheelchair, but realistically, I've only got like 15 years left in these knees and I want to go cliff jumping. So I was like, to hell with it. Let's go to Asia.
And you went by yourself?
Yeah. So I originally went by myself, and then I kind of met people throughout. Kind of, I guess halfway through, I had a buddy from Calgary that was working abroad. He was like, Guy, like, the place I'm working sucks. Can I just join you? And I was like, fuck it, sure. So he joined me for half of the Philippines, and then we traveled China together as well.
Did you start in the Philippines?
No. So basically the route that I took was, if you ever look at a map, it's kind of like a hypnosis kind of swirl. So I started off in Thailand, and then in order to get into Thailand, you have to have a flight leaving Thailand. So the kind of cheapo in me was like, okay, what's the cheapest flight leaving Thailand in a month? and it happened to be to Vietnam. So I was like, okay, sick, guess we're going to Vietnam. So then I went to Vietnam, and then I did my shenanigans there. And I was like, fuck it, we're already here, let's go to Laos. I had never heard of that country before I went to Asia.
I've never heard of it.
It's in a Brooklyn Nine-Nine episode. And I don't, like, that's the only other place I've ever heard it. And then Cambodia, and then Singapore, Indonesia, Philippines, Hong Kong, China, Nepal, and then Israel.
I could not, those sound like decisions made on a whim.
Well, truthfully, they were. Like, I had a couple places, like Thailand, I just knew I wanted to start because it's easy to kind of meet friends and it's a pretty big hub.
Yeah.
So I know I wanted to go there. I know I wanted to go to Indonesia originally for Bali, but I might get into that later about why I don't really like Bali.
Okay.
And I knew I wanted to go to Nepal because I wanted to do, it's called the Annapurna circuit, where basically it's a 2-week or I guess 3-week trek in the Himalayas.
Oh, sweet.
So I kind of based it off around that. And a lot of times I was kind of like, fuck it, we're here, let's go.
Like you say, you go to places and it seems like you don't really know when you're going or have like, I mean, some, like you said, some things you like sort of planned, but like, were you there with like a, like sort of, was there always like a group of like hostile people around you that you could hang out with? And, or were you just like roaming around the streets confused?
So normally what I do is there's apps called like Hostel World and then booking.com. And I'd usually go on there just to see which one had the best kind of social vibe, if that's what I was looking for. And then from there, I'd usually show up kind of, I usually started with one night. And then if I liked the place, I extended it. And if I hated it, I just go somewhere else. And then I'd usually make friends and then we'd go out for dinner and drinks. And the next day they'd be like, oh, we're going to like this and this temple. And I'd be like, sick, so am I. And then it's kind of just like unspokenly like, cool, we'll go together. There were a couple of times where that was like, I travel with them for like a day or two. And I was like, you know what? You guys just aren't really my vibe. And I kind of branched off. And then there were other times where I met some random people on a tour. And then I ended up traveling with one of the guys on that tour for a month. So it's,
wow.
You're extroverted.
When I have enough of these in me, I am.
So I assume you didn't know the languages before you went there. Maybe you did. Maybe you're like, fuck it, I'm a genius and learned all of them.
No.
So was it hard, like not knowing the language and like trying to talk to people?
So keep in mind, like a lot of places are already pretty like westernized. So they've had a lot of tourists come in. Sadly, yeah, I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why I don't like Bali. I know, big shade at Eat, Pray, Love, but if you go to Indonesia, skip Bali. Sorry, Julia Roberts.
He did that movie. Sorry, I just wanted to say, the only good part of that movie was when she was eating the pasta.
But yeah, so the only place that I guess I didn't speak the language was China. I actually had this little tiny book. It's just a book of like, it's a Mandarin phrase book. And it basically just has all these like, where's the bus station? Where's the water station? Kind of like in Chinese or in Mandarin, I guess. So that was the only place where I've read to use that. But other than that, like everybody speaks English.
You just spoke English. See, that's the thing that I worry about the most. I worry about being a shy little introverted mouse boy. And I also worry about not knowing the language and also feeling like a bit of a nuisance when I'm trying to, like, even if I was like just reading this book, I just would feel like such an idiot trying to say, and they'd be like, oh my God, just pissed that I, so like that's, it's like judgment almost that I'm scared. Do you feel any of that when you're going around, or did you feel confident just speaking English and saying, you better speak my language?
So on the language front, like I'd feel confident most of the time. So China was one place. And then in Vietnam, basically what I did was I took the not traditional route, which basically means I started in the south and then I bought a motorbike. And then I rode that motorbike to the north of Vietnam.
You bought it. You like actually bought
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I bought it off of some guy on Facebook.
Wait. How do you need to like register it or something? You just drive it around. Doesn't matter.
It's Vietnam.
I was going to say it's Vietnam. Like I got pulled over a couple times, gave him like the equivalent of like $20 and just kept going.
Wait, so you technically.
Wait. Am I allowed to put this in the podcast again? Are you going to go to jail?
Vietnamese jail. They come to my house in Calgary. But just a little fun tidbit about Vietnam, their currency is called the dong.
Nice.
Which is one of my favorite parts about Vietnam.
Okay. So you technically do need to have your, like a motorcycle insured. Like you're supposed to there. You don't
know.
So, but wait, if they pull you over, then why are you paying them if they're pulling you
this
over?
This only ever happened twice. So once they got pulled over in a pretty known place for them to pull like tourists over, and then there I had to pay him off. Truth be told,
but why are they?
It's just a bribe, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But why are they pulling you over in the first place?
They want money.
Yeah, they're just fishing for bribes. Like
it's really.
I would do that.
Yeah, it's pretty corrupt. Like, aside from that, like when you're in the major cities, they're probably not going to pull you over unless you're like popping wheelies and like running into people. Right, like as long as you're not being a dick and yeah, honestly, like as long as you're not being an idiot on the roads, like they have no reason to pull you over, they won't. And half the time, even when they try to, like they'd like wave me down and kind of just whoop, swerve around and keep going.
I remember you also told me that, I don't remember where you were, but you said that you would use like Google Translate to like try and talk to people.
Yeah, yeah, that helps a lot too. The only problem with that is that Google doesn't work in China. So I like, you know how, I don't know if you guys did this, but like, if anybody here is still in high school and they use their CVE login, did you guys ever use the VPN so you could have access to like Snapchat and Instagram and whatever?
No, I was a good kid.
Okay, well, anyways, so like I paid
Catholic
for
school things.
I paid for a VPN for kind of that month. Just so that way I'd have like WhatsApp and Facebook and whatever.
I'm just going to kind of go back into what Kale was saying about how like you kind of feel judged when you don't know the language and you're trying to say this stuff. There are some places that will judge people. Like I know in France, if you speak English and not French, or even if you speak like Quebecois French, they'll like make fun of you and people will like tell the like pickpocketers and all those type of people to go for the tourists. Even some of the servers will be like more rude to you just because you don't speak the language, which is kind of like weird. But then when you think about it, like if someone came to Canada and was like just speaking French, you'd be like, what the fuck? You're in Canada, speak English. So I kind of get where they're coming from.
Yeah, but it's different because English is way more common and they speak English in France.
It's also way different. Exactly. Kind of like what you said. It's like if everybody in Canada spoke Thai, and then someone from Thailand comes in and starts speaking Thai, we wouldn't have a problem because we knew what he was saying.
Yeah, exactly.
But if someone walks in and starts speaking to me right now in Thai, like, I don't know what the fuck they're saying. Like,
yeah, exactly.
So I feel like that's kind of like, I don't want to say like arrogant, but it's like that doesn't really exist there just because like, I feel like in France, if people stopped coming to France, like the French still have like a very big economy and whatever else, like trades or stuff like that. Whereas Asia, the main, I guess, export is tourism.
Yeah.
Right. So they kind of have to speak English or else they ain't going to make money.
Well, also French people are pretty arrogant. Nothing wrong with that though. I do love France. I was supposed to be in France right now. Shout out COVID. Really? Yeah. I was supposed to live in Paris for a bit, but French people are kind of assholes. It just depends on where you are in France. If anything, just say, quoi.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never been, but I can.
What?
But kind of one quick story that I did want to say that kind of ties into what Kale said about like being a nuisance and kind of just like sitting in your room reading your book all day for an introvert. My first freaking night there, I'm like, you know what? I'm jet lagged. It's like 9 p.m. I'm going to go to sleep. So I get into like my bunk bed. I'm in a room with like 16 beds. I think I'm the only one there. I go to sleep. Obviously, I'm jet lagged. I wake up at like 3 in the morning and these like two drunk people start like hobbling in. And I'm like, whatever, like, I was expecting this, blah, blah, blah. To kind of set this up for you, it's like bunk bed, bunk bed, bunk bed, bunk bed. And I'm on top of here.
I feel like I know where this is going.
Maybe. I'll try and keep it clean. Basically, the bed beside me, like I wake up and I'm kind of looking at the ceiling. Bed beside me starts to like shake a little bit. And I was like, boys, like, sorry, not boys. But I was like, guys, like no freaking way this is happening right now. So anyway, so after that experience, I'll kind of cut it off at that. But after that, I was like, okay, like, there's no way I'm fucking being
Why are you cutting it off? Is there anything more fun?
The people in the bed beside me were having sex.
Damn.
I know. Crazy.
Wait, but they just did it? They just didn't care that, did they know you were there?
Yeah,
they just didn't give shit.
My dude, this was not the first time I would, or the last time I would see people having sex in the same like bedroom as me.
In hostels, people are just drunk and they're like, there's a whole bunch of people here, let's go.
Yeah. Anyway, so that lasted for about 10 seconds and then I just went back to sleep.
Only 10 seconds.
I know.
wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
But after that, I was like, you know what, fuck it. Like, unless I'm in my room sleeping, like, I don't want to be in the rooms. Not that that was like a regular occurrence to like deter anybody from sleeping in hostels, but I was like, okay, like culture shock. Mm. Like, this happens.
Yeah.
What are your hostel pet peeves?
Bed bugs. Freaking hate them. They suck. Like, let me tell you a quick story about bed bugs too. So it's another story about why I hate Bali. Bali is an island, okay? And the Bali airport is called blah, 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 Denpasar Airport. So that makes you think that the airport is beside like the city called Denpasar. It's not freaking close to Denpasar whatsoever. But me and like the guy I was traveling with at that point didn't know it. So we're like, Kate, let's sleep at Denpasar and we'll go to the airport in the morning. We show up there. There's freaking nothing to do there. We pull up to this like spooky like hostel. We go in and we're like, oh, looks fine, whatever. We go out, we come back at like, I think it's like 10:30 p.m. and there's bed bugs crawling all over the wall. Oh. And it's like 10:30, like there's no way we're finding another hostel now, like there's nothing we can do. And we're like, you know what, like, yes, this is it. So we lather ourselves in bug spray. And I'm like, okay, guess we'll try and sleep. And I wake up the next morning with basically a line from like one elbow up my back to the other elbow, filled with bites. So that was rough.
I would rather sleep outside.
I hate that.
Is there anything you can do to like protect yourself from bed bugs? Probably not. My parents' university had bed bugs. Like they're like residents. I was like, oh, hold up. And y'all were chill with that. And she's like, yeah, and there's sometimes there was rats in the corner. I was like, where the fuck?
Where'd your parents go to school?
What?
They moved to Canada.
Oh,
well, you know, no, you guys know Moldova. That's where I'm from, baby. Respect. Moldova. Also, okay, wait. Guy, were you born in Canada?
No, I was born in Israel and then I moved here when I was 5.
Do you speak
the native tongue of Israel? Yes, I speak Hebrew.
Israeli? Whoops, sorry. That's what people from Israel are called. Well, it's really awkward, yeah. Guys.
My favorite is when they pull out the Israeli in. Makes me sound like I'm from outer space.
When did you move here?
When I was 5, so it would have been 2004, 2005.
Me too.
No
I
way.
I moved here in 2005.
Maybe we're on the same flight from Frankfurt.
Maybe.
I was the kid crying.
I thought Frankfurt and Fort McMurray were the same.
Whoa. Don't even. What?
Do you guys know where Frankfurt is?
Yeah.
Do you guys know where Fort McMurray is?
Yes, it.
In Germany.
Wait, I can't tell if you're joking right now.
There's no way you're being.
Is it not in Germany? I'm joking.
So my mom would be like, oh, yeah, like, because she works in the oil industry. And she's like, yeah, some of the guys on the oil rigs in, like, Fort Mac. I was like, they go all the way to Germany to get the oil?
Here, I'll add on to your little ESL thing there. So you know how we get Chinooks? You know how we have Chinook Mall? So when I was a kid, I was thoroughly convinced that the reason why it was so warm is from all the exhaust coming from Chinook Mall. And that's why they were called Chinooks.
I also thought Lamborghini and lingerie meant the same thing. But also, I didn't speak English when I came here. So a lot of words that just like have maybe like the same letters, I'm like, same thing. So I thought Lamborghinis were like lingerie. And one time my brother and his friend were talking about Lamborghinis. And like, oh, I want this one so bad. They're like, yeah, this one's so cool. And I was like, you guys are disgusting that you would even talk about that. And in front of me.
Okay, well, I mean, that's reasonable.
Well, if you like, I saw this thing the other day where it's like English is probably one of the hardest languages to learn. So think about how you spell the word daughter. So you spell it, but like if you replace the D with an L, now for whatever reason, it's pronounced laughter and not lauder.
Kale, you speak any languages?
Yeah, I speak English. I don't know. I took sign language in grade 11 and 12, so I sort of know that a little bit, I could say, kind of.
I was in a room in like Victoria Island and I was really bored. And like when I'm bored, I just like learning languages.
Like, I'm just quirky like that.
Guys, I'm just quirky. No, I don't know
you
why.
Just
the
like learning languages.
My parents speak like 6 languages.
Quick 10 minutes.
So when I'm bored, I just like go and learn languages. So it's just also just fun.
Like for real?
Yeah. Like when I was in Victoria Island and I was like couldn't fall asleep, I was like, let's learn some sign language because why the fuck not? Like some people come into work who are deaf. So I'm obviously not like fluent, but like I know some things. I'm like, also, sorry guys, quick little story. So at work, there's this Spanish lady and she speaks Spanish, obviously. And she speaks Spanish usually more than English. So one time I saw her in the morning and she was like, hola, Evelina. I was like, hola, ¿cómo estás? And she's like, bien. Y tú? I was like, bien. She's like, oh, ¿tú hablas español? Like, do you speak Spanish? And I was like, sí. I thought she could just tell from my accent I didn't speak Spanish. But then she came back to like give me something for a customer and she starts speaking fluent Spanish. And I was like, ¿qué? And she was like, she said it again. I was like, oh, sí, sí. Because I could, She was so excited. She's like this middle-aged mom who was so excited someone at work finally speaks Spanish. And I only know the tiny bit of Spanish. Like, my mom's fluent.
Sorry, was this somebody you work with or a customer?
This is somebody I work with. So I see her. Like,
oh, no.
I think you just have to learn Spanish now. Just bite the bullet and...
I was like, someone teach me fluent Spanish. I'm like, I can't, because I know it would break her heart if I was like, well, I was just kidding.
What do you do now? How recent was this?
This was like a week ago, actually. But the good thing is, like, Romanian, which is what I speak, it's a love language, just like Spanish, French, Italian, and some other languages. So they're all super similar.
I've heard that, like, once you know one of those languages, like, it's pretty easy to learn the other ones. Like, if you know Spanish, you can learn French and Italian pretty easily.
It's so easy. So even my cousins, they only knew Romanian. They moved to Italy for like a month, and then they were fluent in Italian. So I can understand a lot of the things that they say. So the Spanish, I know what she's saying, but I just can't really talk back. So I'll just be like, oh, like, I know what you're saying, but my Spanish is bad for talking. So
bad for talking.
I was going to say, I think my Spanish kind of extends to go, Diego, go. And then it's where it stops.
We speak Romanian, but it's not, air quotes, real Romanian.
Like, it's a dialect.
Yeah, exactly.
So would you sound weird if you went to actual Romania?
I think if I went to Romania, I'd use a lot of words that they wouldn't know unless they knew Russian.
Oh, weird. Interesting. That's so weird. That doesn't happen in English.
I was going to say, we just have different slang, I feel.
Yeah, or like a British person could speak and that they would say something like wanker. And it's like, I get what you're saying. I don't use that word, but I... Yeah.
It's that word in that sense too, where it's like in Britain and Australia, it's really common for them to use the C word. I'm not going to say the C word on your podcast.
I love the C word.
I really don't like it when US people say it or like Canadian people say it. But have you ever heard like a British person or an Australian person say it? I'm like, I've never wanted to be called anything more in my life. Like, it sounds so nice.
I know. It's such a satisfying word.
When they say it, you're like, fuck, just say it again.
Yeah. Like, whenever you watch British movies, I don't know if you guys have watched The Gentlemen, but they say it, like, I swear 100 times in that movie. And I was like.
Or like in Betweeners.
Yeah. And I'm just like. Is this allowed? Have you ever done backpacking?
Yeah. Like, sorry. Like, I don't mean to laugh, but like, yeah, like that's kind of how I traveled around. Like,
okay, sorry. Sorry.
That's like what that was, isn't it?
No, like, I don't, because he had a fucking motorcycle. Maybe he took that everywhere.
So I could.
That's not backpacking. That's
fucking idiot.
Shut up.
I had two shirts and two underwears, one in each pocket. Yeah, what? Passport was in the butt pocket, and you don't even want to know where I kept my coins.
He just had all his things in his pockets.
Okay, no, I thought I see backpacking as just walking.
Like freaking Terry Fox just across the whole country? But yes, I backpacked. Basically, how I had to set up was I have a 75 liter and then a 25 liter, and then like backpack, like that size. And then the 75 liter was like a huge one that I'd stick on my back and it'd make me look like whichever one the blue ninja turtle was. I think it's Donatello. Anyways, so that one would have like my clothes and stuff. And it's the one that I wouldn't mind if people stole. Please don't steal my blue backpack if I ever see you guys traveling. But that's like where I kept all the non-essentials. So like clothes and shoes and whatever. And then the small backpack was where I had like credit cards, passports. And that one was with me the whole time, like slept with it. I had like a money belt and that came with me like into the shower.
That's fair. Would people in hostels like steal stuff?
So the way I had it explained to me, and it makes like a lot of sense once you start traveling, is it's like everyone that's in the place that you are is in the same place that you are. You know what I mean? Like no one, like I haven't heard of anybody saying like, you know what? I'm going to go to Thailand. I'm going to steal all the GoPros I can. Going to come back to Canada, sell them. Like no one. Well, you could, but it wouldn't be worth it. And I've talked to enough like hostel owners and hostel managers that they're like, everyone has the same shit. So if someone stole your like GoPro Hero 5, it's probably because they legitimately thought it was their GoPro Hero 5 that looked the exact same. You know what I mean? So like people don't steal their stuff. I'm not saying be naive and like flail your money around and like be safe.
So would you be more worried then about getting robbed? Is that a thing that you get robbed?
So I got scammed like maybe like once or twice, like not even that bad. Big one is the taxis, because like they try and get you to pay up front and not use the meter. But if you bargain hard enough and just be like, use the meter, they'll either say yes or they'll say no, and then you just find a new taxi.
Wait, that happened to me in Vancouver.
Yeah, it's like it's a kind of a common thing. Like, it's
a guy got really mad at me because I didn't have cash, and I was like, I can pay with my card. He's like, are you fucking kidding me? Then I'm not gonna get my money. He's like, just, do you have cash? I was like, no, but can I please just go to my house? Like, it's right there.
But yeah, so like, even like scams, like pickpockets and stuff like that, like, there's enough people traveling that they're going to target the easy targets, right? Like, if you're someone who's fairly protective of their stuff, they have 1,000 other people in that same like market or wherever you are that they could try and hit. So like, I usually kept the majority of my stuff in my backpack. If I was anywhere that was super, super crowded, I even put my backpack on my front. And that way, like, no one tried to mess with me. Like, if you're out there like with your phone, like freaking vlogging when there's 2,000 people around you in like a Thailand market, yeah, you might get robbed because you're flailing your, like $2,000 camera.
So make sure you keep your babies on the back, not the front.
Nope.
Well, babies on the back and porn stuff on the front.
Someone just ran by and yoinked your baby. That would be nuts.
I saw a movie where that happened, so it has to be true.
That's not even good. Could they sell a kid? I feel like nobody wants to buy
a kid.
There's
a thing called child trafficking, Kale, but we're not going to get into that. Anyways, let's hit a lighter topic.
Anyways,
I have a question. I have a question about money. I like to have it and not have it. How expensive was traveling, and how cheap were you able to make it as you went around?
7 months in Asia. Yeah, like, keep in mind, it's like a pretty long time. I think all in all, flights, food, hostels, like living was 11 grand.
That's not bad.
Which is like, and I lived like pretty well. Like, I could definitely like bring it down. Most expensive places though were definitely, I'd say China, Indonesia, and Thailand.
Keep in mind, this motherfucker bought a motorcycle, so.
Well, so the motorcycle actually saved me money. Or I guess in the long run, I kind of broke even, but say I bought it for like $200 because it was super freaking cheap. And then I sold it for $100. And then along the way, like, there were literally days where I spent like $10. Because all I did was pay for gas, which was like $2 a day, pay for freaking pho on the side of the road, which was like $1.50 from your local grandma, and then a place to sleep.
I guess when you like convert the money, yeah. I'm just thinking of everything.
Like 5,000 dong is like 50 cents, which is a bargain compared to how much it is here.
I'm just going to do some quick questions. What is your favorite place you've traveled to?
China.
Least favorite?
Laos.
More like lousy.
Yeah, Laos was very lousy.
I thought it was gonna be Bali.
No, like I agree that Bali sucked, but Indonesia as a whole was freaking bomb. Like, I saw Komodo dragons, I swam with manta rays, I hiked with orangutan.
Thought orangutan was the long word for orange. Anyway, place with the best food?
I'd probably still say China on that one. Like, you might think that, like, Chinese food is what you get from, like, wherever the frick you go. Nuh-uh. Like, what they have there is next level.
Is there a certain part of China?
Yeah, China's pretty big.
So, I mainly stuck to the west. Or, like, I guess, like, middle west. I'm not going to say names because you guys probably don't even know where they are. But, like, Beijing and Shanghai are pretty right. Couple notches left on the map from them.
Place with the best scenery?
Scenery, let's say either Indonesia or China. Like a lot of people think China is literally just like some big like landfill of a country, but like I promise you, it is not just what like Beijing or Shanghai or whatever city it is they show on the news. I went to basically they have these things where I forget how old they are, but monks carved these statues into rock, which might make you think like, oh, look, we have Mount Rushmore. Which, like you're right, it's super similar, except for the fact that this is legit, like, 8 Mount Rushmores. This is, like, imagine, like, if Mount Rushmore met, like, the hieroglyphics and the pyramids in Egypt. Like, it's insane how cool it is. There was one place I really wanted to go to that was, like a monk Tibetan village, but apparently tourists aren't allowed there. After being upset for, like, a whole 2 seconds, I saw that the place I was staying was offering this, like, tour where you go and stay the night at a monastery. So I did that. And that was super cool.
Best place for partying?
Good one. Probably Thailand. I'd say that was where I did the majority of my partying. Or China if you're on a budget. Now, hear me out, okay? Like, regardless of what you believe or not, like, in China, if you're white, they'll let you into the clubs for free and they'll give you free alcohol. You think I'm kidding? Like, look it up. Like, a lot of places there, like, they sell sunscreen with bleach in it. Like, for them, because if your skin is lighter, it means you don't work outside, which means that you must be rich.
Ooh.
A lot of times, if they have really long nails, like, when I originally got there, I was like, oh, like the coke nail, because, like, that's what, like, the long nail on here usually means. But really, it's, like, they grow out their nails because it's a sign of, like, status, because that means that they don't dig, they don't work with their hands, so they obviously have money.
That's, like, in Moldova, they're like, you're really fat. But that's a good thing because that means you're rich. Because what? If Why? You can get food there and become fat, that means you're fucking rich because you can buy food.
That's like old style thinking. That's like how it used to be in like England.
Well, yeah, even if you look at like paintings of like Louis VIII or whoever, whatever king, they're always chunky AF.
Yeah, because they're rich and they can get the food. Yeah.
Yeah, shoddy could eat.
So do you want to travel more when the pandemic is over?
Oh, 100%.
Where do you want to go?
So originally this year, I was planning on going to Turkey and Greece. Obviously, that's not an option. Turkey, like now it's a bit of a question mark. Like I still really want to go, but they did have that. I think it was Turkey, Azerbaijan, and a couple other countries. I forget who it was, but they had something going on between them that caused a lot of like political unrest. Just so it might not be like the safest place to go. And no matter how much I may love the thrill of maybe dying, I don't like the certainty of dying.
Their airport is so nice.
I've heard that. The Istanbul
one? Yeah, I showed up and I was like, Where the fuck? I did get lost, though. I will admit I could not find my flight and I had to like call my parents.
If you're ever in Asia, like I will say this twice. Get a connecting flight in Singapore. Get a connecting flight in Singapore. These guys know how to build a freaking airport. Let me explain this to you. Have you ever been to London Heathrow? No? Have you ever been to like the duty free at YYC?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know how you like all the shopping and stuff like that?
Wait, me and my parents love that.
Yeah, exactly. All like, never mind.
All immigrants, hey!
I was going to say that.
Us immigrants love to save money.
Love going to the Rolex store, even though we're not going to buy one. So anyway, so if you can imagine like YYC or like literally any shopping mall you could ever think of, like four of those, they have two movie theaters that you could go into just for shits. I watched Planet of the Apes 3 times when I was there.
What the fuck?
I'm not kidding.
You don't have to pay?
No, you go. Like I had a 26-hour layover one time, and this was after I'd already been in Singapore. So I was like, okay, like it's kind of expensive. Like there's really no point of me like going back to the city to see whatever I want to see just because it's going to be so expensive. So about 2 hours in, because you can check in 24 hours before your flight, I check in and I spent 24 hours in that airport. Easiest 24 hours of my life. They got slides. They got movies. They got butterfly gardens. They got sunflower gardens. When I say these guys know how to build an airport, these guys know how to build an airport.
That seems so over the top. I mean, I guess it's sick for you. If you're spending a day there, but what the fuck?
I don't know if you're in a relationship or not.
Not anymore.
Let's say you still were. Would you still travel, or do you think it would make it a lot harder for a relationship? Like, would you try to get her to come with you? Would you go by yourself and do long distance for a bit? What would you do?
So I really think it depends on kind of where I was with that person. So I went to Portugal and Morocco, I guess that was 2 years ago. And at the time I was seeing somebody and like, I started seeing them, like I made it like, I guess like official, like I guess a week before I left. So the first kind of like 6 weeks was like apart. I feel like the building blocks to relationships happen in that first little bit. And especially that honeymoon phase is done via like Skype or Zoom or whatever. It just isn't the same.
It also messes with your travel. Like if you're trying to like take time out of your every day to talk to them or whatever too, it kind of takes away from your experience.
It's not even that. It's like I'm a lot more like reserved, especially with girls, if I know I have a girlfriend back home. Because in the back of my head, I'm always like, oh, like if she was here and she heard me saying this to this person, what would she think? So on that front, I'm not a huge fan of traveling with having a girlfriend back home. With that being said, I wouldn't be a huge fan if my girlfriend traveled with me being back home. Not that I think that the people that I'm with would by any means like cheat on me, but I've seen it happen where they're like, oh, it's going to be great. Then they're gone for 5 months. And as humans do after 5 months, you're like, well, like, I haven't seen this person. We'll like just break it off. So I personally prefer traveling alone just because I find that there's nothing really holding you back as well as holding the person that might be back home. But in terms of them coming with me, that's a little different because I have traveled with other people before. And part of the, I guess, excitement and thrill of traveling alone is that knowing that if for whatever reason, me and this person that like I just met at a hostel get into a disagreement, we could literally just leave. We'll never see each other again and whatever. But if say I have a girlfriend and now she comes with me for however long, 3-4 months, and we get into a disagreement, now we're spending the next 1 week, 2 weeks, like getting through it. And that is 1 week, 2 weeks that we could have spent traveling.
True. So in any situation, it's not ideal then.
Unless you know for certain that that person is good to travel with. And in all honesty, you don't know that until you do it. And maybe your first trip isn't like 3-4 months. Maybe it's like a week or a weekend. You know what I mean? But part of the fun thing is knowing that, like, you know what, if things don't work out, I can leave this person.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's a significant other, it's a little harder of a conversation to have.
Maybe just start small, like do a little road trip with them and then go like a little farther on the road trip, and then a little farther.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, that's exactly what I'm saying. It's like first start off with like a weekend like away, and then maybe do like 4 or 5 days, and then before you know, you're doing like a week or two, and then you kind of build on from there.
Because there's like different types of people when traveling too. Like there's the people who are like, I need everything planned to a fucking T, like we're not going off schedule. And there's people who are like, whatever comes happens, like let's go.
Exactly. And it's like I feel like there's a give and take at that point too. Like I've traveled with people who have been like, I need to have everything planned out, whereas I'm a bit more loosey-goosey on that front.
Buys a fucking motorcycle.
I'm not gonna lie to you, I showed up to Vietnam a day later. I was like, well, whatever, we're buying a motorcycle. 2.5 days later, I have the bike. It was very much done on a whim. Anyways, continuing, having a plan isn't by any means a bad idea. Like knowing where you're gonna sleep that night is good, right? Like knowing where you're going next is good. But the way that I travel, it's like, okay, I go to a country and I look at it as a whole. And I'm like, okay, in that country, what are my like top three or top five? Realistically, if I were to only do those top three or top five, I'd be there for a week. Obviously, I'm not there for a week. Like I'm there for a month or whatever, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, so I obviously have all this other time to fill. This is where that kind of spontaneous adventure comes in. I'll give an example. Like I went to Indonesia. I was like, I want to go to Bali. I want to see Komodo dragons. I want to see orangutans. If I was to just do that, that would take up a week. But then I show up and I'm like, okay, cool, let's go see this volcano. Let's go surfing. Let's go see this other volcano. You know what I mean? And then before you know it, you have a month filled up.
Yeah, I'm definitely more somebody who plans stuff. But I think if you have the time, which you obviously do, and you have the things you want to do, and you just like do them by the time you leave.
Yeah.
And I think when you're there too, when you're on vacation, like you have less like structure anyways. You kind of just do whatever you're feeling, which I think is better for that type of vacation.
You very much fall into this rhythm where, at least I did, where I'm like, okay, I land in a place. What do I do? First thing, like, it's kind of like the, I forget what it's called. I think it's like the pyramid of needs, where it's like at your base, you have like sleep, food, water, like shelter, food, water.
Hierarchy.
Thank you. Wow. Big ESL girl. So food, water, shelter is at the bottom. So that's kind of where you go first. Like, okay, where am I sleeping? So you find a hostel. I usually bought a water bottle or two, and then I found some food. Once I had those two and I felt, let's say, comfortable, I'd be like, okay, cool. What activities is there to do in this town? Or so that's kind of the routine that I found myself falling into. Obviously, there are people that land and they're like, well, fuck it. Guess we'll go to the local bar, get shit-faced, and see where that takes me, which I don't recommend. It's how you wake up with a scar running from your belly button to your nipple. But keep in mind, okay, little thing. So I went to that full moon party in Thailand. I don't know if you guys have heard about it or not. It's a huge rager in Thailand that happens when there's a full moon. First off, overrated as hell.
Really?
All the clubs have no walls. And you just have this like mishmash of music coming from everywhere. But it's all different music. And people are just passed out on the beach. And people are taking their credit cards. And just not a good time.
Yeah, I'll pass on that. It's funny because I feel like you two are both very different types of travelers, because I've heard Guy talk about like the way he travels, and he's like, yeah, I'll land somewhere. And then I'm like, okay, let's do what I want to do. And then Kale, I remember talking to you, and you were like, I didn't even want to come on this trip because I was like, I could just save this money and budget it for something better. Like I never go on trips.
Did I say that? Cool. Wow. We really bonded. That's crazy. All right.
you were just saying that you could have budgeted this money for something way better or invested it or put into savings. But I was like, but isn't this much better because you're making memories and having fun with all your friends?
At least from what, like, I think it's like at the end of the day, like when you're age, whatever, like you might die soon. I don't think anyone lays on their deathbed saying, you know what? I wish I had it. I wish I worked more, or I wish I had more money. It's always like, I wish I traveled more. I wish I spent more time with my family. Like, money you can always make back.
Hot take. Okay, I did a whole bunch of cool stuff in Mexico. I have like a whole bunch of cool memories in Victoria and a whole bunch of cool memories in all the places that I've gone. I went to Hawaii with my parents. But like, that's pretty much as I remember about it. Okay, here's a hot take. My thought is that when I'm 8,500 and I'm dying, I won't remember what the fuck I did anyways. I know what I did, kind of. I know that I went on that cruise when I was in grade 11 and it was cool and it was fun and I met a lot of fun people, but I don't think about it. I don't know. I had a lot of like great relationships where I was just absolutely in love, but I don't even remember what that person's like at this point. It's like a gift and a curse because you forget bad stuff that happens, but you also forget good stuff that happens.
See, so I completely understand where you're coming from. Like, when I'm 90, will I remember how I was when I was 18? Realistically, probably not. Also, I feel like, though, it's like, who says you're going to die at 90? For all we know.
True. That's why I said 8,500.
Well, who knows, right? But, like, for all we know, that's what I mean. Like, right? Like, you could walk outside, get run by a bus, and that's it. Obviously, like, the time that we have to live is finite. Like, it ends at some point. And even if I don't remember it, I feel like the time that I do remember it, I'd rather have it be fun.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that.
I guess YOLO is a pretty just like hashtag swag money way to put it. But honestly, like, it is true. You might wake up one day and you're like, you know what? Like, I am 8,500 now. You might pull out the atlas from your bookcase and look at it. And you know what? I never went to this country. I meant to go to Australia that one year, but I never actually did. And it's like, for me, I feel like I just don't want that to happen. I should have gone to France in 2021, but I didn't.
You could die tomorrow.
Or 8,500 years from now.
I was going to say, apparently Kale's going to live forever. I feel like this might be too philosophical for right now, but like, I feel like the only people that are afraid to die are those that haven't lived yet. And I feel like until you fully live, that's when you're like, you know what? If I get hit by a bus tomorrow, who cares? Say like heaven exists, or say like for whatever reason you get to look back on your life. I know that looking back on it, I would have lived. And for me, at least, like going through ages 0 through 30, where realistically, like, is when you can live.
I think that's 100% true. It's a tough balance between making sure that your future has like enough shit for you to be happy and also taking all those opportunities when you can. The other thing, though, is that your average person who makes an average amount of money can afford to go traveling, you know, most places if they budget. But I think the stuff that I want to do is like not normal stuff. So my desire to drive a Lamborghini into a wall for fun, haha, would stop me from spending the time and money to travel to Europe. And so I think there are things that I want to do. When I think of my deathbed regrets, like for sure traveling potentially on there and like all that stuff is potentially on there. But I think also if I never get to experience, I mean, not that I would be so wasteful as to drive a Lamborghini into a wall, but if I never succeed to the level that I want to, because I spent all those years mucking about and I forgot a lot of the stuff that I did anyways, I think that's where I would feel the regret. And that's how, like, I think the same way about the like regrets at deathbed stage. But I just think the things that I would regret are maybe different.
Well, I guess that like relates back to how you measure success. Like if you measure success based off of how many digits you have in your bank account, then like, which is like a totally like okay thing to think of. I think there's two schools of thought, and like there's a way to find, there's a definite gray area, but you either work to live or you live to work. And I feel like living to work gets you that Lamborghini, it gets you that penthouse, whatever. But like, if I've learned kind of one thing just throughout kind of like living, it's that no matter what you buy, like materialism never stops. It's like when you're in high school, you look at the kid with the BMW and you're like, oh, I want that. And then you get enough money and you buy it. And you're like, oh, I love the BMW, but I really want the Mercedes. So you buy the Mercedes. It's like, oh, I want the Mercedes, but I really want this Ferrari. I have the Ferrari, but I want the Lamborghini. I have the Lamborghini, but I want the jet. Like, it always, like, there's no kind of ceiling to where like that success stops.
I think the same thing happens with every experience. So I like, and it happens with everything. I think people who get tattoos always want more tattoos. And I think people who travel get the travel bug. And I think you could potentially go to every country ever, and maybe you'd feel fulfilled at that point, but maybe you wouldn't, because the way I see it, you have 8 hours of sleep, and then you have 8 hours of work and 8 hours of play. Realistically, like, you're sleeping 8 hours and then your work and your play, that's 50-50. If you dislike half of all of your days, but then you take like months out to travel, that's still like 8 hours of your day every single day for those times where you're not traveling or doing fun stuff. That is just like shitty. And so my philosophy is like, work till I get to a point where that 8 hours and I is fantastic every single day.
I was just gonna say, with the travel thing, I think the really cool thing about travel is, sure, you see cool places and you make cool memories, and like, but also the thing with that is you could find the person that you like fall in love with. You could find a friend who you really enjoy. You buy a place there, and that's how you live your life for the rest of your life. You never know like what could happen when you travel somewhere. You could be like, this is just a fun thing, but for all you know, you can meet someone on the street, get offered a job there, and just start working there and loving your life.
Oh, 100%. Like, can't even count on like two hands how many times I've been offered to teach English in Vietnam or teach English in China. Like, I 100% believe that if I took one of those routes, I wouldn't be where I was today. And that's okay. And like, I am okay with that fact. 100% agree that life is almost like a tree with different branches that you can take. And off of those branches, there's also different branches that you can take. And like, one life might not be super far out from a different life, but one life might be on opposite ends of the tree where you might be someone completely different, right? And not necessarily saying one's better than the other.
Why did this interview get so deep? Yeah, holy shit. It started off like jokes. Everyone's like, ha ha ha. And now we're like, this is the meaning of life.
I was going to say, this is not tea or tequila. It's tea and tequila.
Guy, thank you so much for coming on. I actually learned a lot more than I expected. Kale says this for quite a few people, but I'm going to say it for the first time ever. I think this has been my favorite interview thus far. And guess what, guys? There will be a part two where we're talking philosophy. Get your boys. Thomas Aquinas. Wait, there were more like moral philosophers.
Karl Marx. We're becoming communists.
Freud was in love with his mom.
No. Wait. Socrates. That's the guy I was thinking about.
The one that wanted to kill his dad.
Okay, we're ending it here, sadly. I can't say any more dumb shit.